Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to Drinking the Kool-Aid.
Welcome.
I'm Megs.
I'm Hannah.
And we have a super itty-mini little update to one of our episodes. It was episode number 210 on Sunny Shramik. The day after we released our episode, something happened, but it's not technically confirmed information.
Okay.
Well, at least at the time of this recording, it's not. The man that Sunny left in a vehicle with allegedly had his Kansas home raided by the FBI, and he was allegedly arrested. So hopefully that information is going to help the investigators to find Sunny.
Man, do you think we triggered the universe?
I hope so.
I kind of hope so, too.
It was just very strange timing, and I really appreciate the person that reached out to me on Facebook because I did not know about this. So I was scrambling as soon as I got it. I was like, what is going on? So yeah, very unconfirmed information currently, but hopefully something good will come of it.
Yes.
So on with today's topic. Hannah, have you ever heard of the word frogging? And that's frogging with a PH.
With a PH?
Yeah, so like P-H-R-O-G-G-I-N-G, frogging. Yes, I'm in a spelling bee.
And can you put it in a sentence?
Well, someone was frogging in my home.
Nope, definitely not. Nope.
Okay. Okay. So,
is this something I was supposed to know about?
No.
Okay.
If you have never heard of this before, like my co-host Hannibal, you're gonna wish that things had stayed that way.
Oh boy.
This is pure nightmare fuel, and if you're home alone currently, this might not be the time for you to listen to this episode.
I have to go home to an empty house, so that's great. Thank you.
Oh, I did not think to check on that. Oopsies. Well, maybe you're staying here longer. Well, frogging is the act of secretly living in another person's home without their knowledge or permission.
Ew. I did not know that had a name.
Yeah. So it's real similar to squatting, but frogging means that you're living in an occupied property.
God, is this story going to have to do with that?
Well, yes, absolutely.
I fucking hate stories like this because they actually scare the shit out of me. When we first moved into our house, there's this little square that goes up to the attic, and mom's like, are you going to go up there and look? And I'm like, listen, I am not doing that, because if there's a person up there, I will never step foot in that house again.
Okay, you need to check immediately. So,
well, I told her I'd send Isaac up.
Has that happened?
No.
Okay, Hannah, you need to do this immediately, because
I think that it's like an attic that you can't, I'm not even sure it's accessible, to be honest with you.
Well, let's be sure.
But that, yeah, mom yells at me every time I bring it up and tell her there's probably somebody living there. She's like, don't say that. Well, it happens.
It does happen. And this has definitely provided a lot of fuel for me to be extra paranoid recently.
I was, okay, the window that is like outside, above the garage.
Okay.
The one like here, the one that's above the garage.
Mm-hmm.
I was always so afraid to look in that at night because I'm like, what if somebody's fucking face is in it? Yeah. I will be so dumb. Like, I will burn the house down. So, I mean, there's that.
Okay.
Know that I've literally been terrified to look into that window.
Well, froggers will often hide in spaces of the home that are rarely used, such as attics, basements, or crawl spaces.
Right.
If you notice strange noises, missing items, or you have feelings of being watched, It could be a sign that a Frogger is in your home.
I mean, thankfully, I have none of the above, but...
Okay, good. So there is a show about this.
What?
Yeah, it's a series. And so that's where I got all of the information. But I watched Frogging Hider in My House, season 1, episode 1 on Hulu. And so I'm going to be giving you two separate stories from that.
Wait, but like, it's like true story, like...
Oh, yeah.
Shut up. These I am so watching this. These actually
happened. Okay.
Oh my god, when Isaac gets home, I'm watching this shit.
Yeah.
What is it? Hulu?
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
Oh, I'm still watching it.
Madison Guidry, Destiny Alford, and Amaya McBride moved into a ground-level apartment in August of 2018. It was a great place located just 2 minutes from the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, and they all three had their own bedrooms and their own bathrooms. The area did have many people that were sleeping outside on the church steps, which were located just across the street from the apartment. Madison was very organized and always noticed if something of hers was out of place.
Wow, that is not me.
No, very opposite of you, in fact. In October of 2018, she looked in her closet and she couldn't find a t-shirt that she was looking for. While this was strange for her, she figured it probably got lost in laundry. Like, maybe it went into one of the other girls' rooms.
Oh, no, see, if I lose a t-shirt, it just went in the void.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'll find it like a year, 6 months, something like that from now, but otherwise it's just in the void until then.
Sure.
It always comes back.
Oh, well, most well that's great.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Anyways.
Then she couldn't find her socks, her work shirt, her brush, or a handful of her bobby pins.
God, I thought you were going to say bra. I was like, damn, that's interesting.
No. She decided that that was enough, though. So she called a meeting with her roommates, and she's like, hey, guys, it's actually super rude to just take my stuff. But they insisted. They did not take anything. And then Destiny said, oh, by the way, some of my stuff has gone missing, too.
I suppose, like, why would they take her work shirt?
Yeah, that would be a weird thing. Like, maybe a few bobby pins. I could see that when you're rooming with other people.
Who the fuck would notice if there's bobby pins missing, though?
But you still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to get them on there. Yeah. We all artists, man. You feel me? We going to have this like...
Bro, me and my man Kyle, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I got a lot, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it. No. Take that shit serious.
I guess it depends on like, yeah, that is weird.
Bobby pins just disappear on their own.
That's true.
So that one is like, yeah, that no, bobby pins just poof into somewhere,
yeah,
some other place.
Like, I just rebuy a little small tin of them.
Yeah.
And eventually.
It's like you buy them and then all of a sudden they all disappear and then you buy them again and this is a continuous life cycle and I'm just wondering where all those missing bobby pins do go.
The void.
Yeah, that's obviously. Yeah.
So 3 weeks later, the gals were in Destiny's room together and Madison's phone rang. It was Amaya calling, but she was sitting right next to her. Amaya was like, I don't even have my phone. I left it in my room on my bed. So they're sitting there going, then who the fuck is in Amaya's room? So they're super scared that somebody is inside the apartment. They didn't know what to do. Like, should they call the police? Should they scream for help and hope that a neighbor hears them? Should they jump out the window? Should they try to fight? Like, what do? They chose to fight. They picked up the things around the room that they thought they could use as a weapon, and then they ran out of there to face whoever was there, but no one was.
Wawarta grabbed the cats and ran the opposite direction.
Bye. I'll just go right out the window, depending on how high it is.
Exactly.
Yeah. So they checked Amaya's room. Her phone was not on the bed. It was in the closet. She said she definitely left the phone on her bed. So they started to think that maybe this wasn't a person. Maybe it was a ghost or a supernatural being. So they decided not to call the police. Because, like, what do you say? Hey, a ghost moved my phone in my apartment.
Honest to God, that probably would have been my first thought.
That's what I was thinking, too. Yeah. Like, yes, I would have been really super paranoid about the situation. But I could have convinced myself, we got a ghost.
I would have convinced myself of that.
Yeah.
Like, that's the first thought I would have had.
Mm-hmm. So I am totally on board with this. Over Thanksgiving break, they left the apartment. Madison was the first one back, and she started unpacking when she got home. In the bathroom, there was a thick dirt ring in the shower, along with a piece of long blonde hair. But all the roommates had dark hair. And they didn't leave dirt rings in the shower.
Right.
So there's that. The next day, Madison saw a giant man's handprint on the mirror in the bathroom.
See, I'm out.
And they jokingly started blaming the ghost.
That's what 100% where I would have gone.
And they kind of explained it in the episode, too. They were like, you know, it just is where your mind wants to go. You would rather it be that.
I mean, no. I don't want a ghost either.
Well, I mean, depending on the...
But the ghost can follow you if you move out, so... either way, it's shitty.
Well, Destiny was like, I got this. So she actually burned sage to purify the whole apartment.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. One night, Amaya was at the apartment alone, but she could hear someone talking. She texted her roommates to see if they were expecting anyone to come over, and they both said no. But she could hear whispers on the other side of the door, and she felt like she was hearing more than one male. She noticed that the door was unlocked, and this right here was all too scary for her, so she actually decided to leave the apartment, and she moved back home.
Yeah.
Like, completely peaced out of this.
Uh-huh. That's probably what I would have been doing.
Destiny and Madison decided to stay, so they continued living there. In February 2019, Madison stopped at the apartment on her lunch break. She unlocked the door, put her phone in the kitchen, and headed to the bathroom. While she was in the bathroom, she heard a noise on the opposite side of the wall, which would have been inside her closet. She could hear hangers moving.
Oh!
I know, I was like, uh-oh! That's so scary.
That's a very distinct noise, though.
Yeah. Her phone was in the kitchen, so it's like she can't call for help. She's in the bathroom. She decided... she was going to look in the closet.
Brave. Brave, brave soul.
Yeah. She opened the door and a man was inside wearing her clothes.
Oh, absolutely not.
Madison looks at him and she goes, who are you and why are you in my closet? The man says that his name is Drew. And he explained that him and his friends raid closets and they take people's clothes.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
So, of all things that he could have come up with.
I know.
That's pretty good.
That's it. So Madison went and got her phone, but she was too scared to call 911 in front of the man because she didn't know how he was going to react, and he was begging her not to call the police.
Yo, you just press that button and start talking to him. You just... yeah. Call them so they hear something weird is happening.
Well, and then she was wondering, like, would he become violent? So she snapped a photo of him in her closet and sent it to her boyfriend. And she was like, hey, can you come over? There's a man in my closet.
Right. Yeah. No, I would have just, like, I mean, if, like, just if I was somehow in that situation, like, you just press that 911 button.
Sure.
Don't even talk to them.
Yeah.
just press it so that it calls and they can hear what's going on. Because they'll almost always send somebody just in case. Especially if you don't answer when they call back.
That's true. Yeah.
So
Drew continued talking to Madison and said that his mom abandoned him and thought that he was ugly. He asked Madison if he was pretty and if she liked his hair.
This is getting so weird.
He also asked her if he could have a hug. But no. She did say no. Yeah, she was like, no, we're not doing that. You
sure fucking can't.
But from the conversation, she got the sense that this guy was more scared of her than she was of him. When her boyfriend arrived, they told Drew that he needed to leave, and he did. He walked over to the gas station, which was right next to the apartment, and there were cops there. So Madison went over and told them, hey, the guy that just went into the gas station bathroom was just in my closet robbing me. So they were able to arrest him.
Okay.
Maintenance showed up to check the apartment, and they found a recliner by a window. When they looked outside, they found a brush and hair ties, you know, some of the items that had gone missing.
Right.
Andrew Swafford, or Drew, was charged with misdemeanor breaking and entering. He was also previously jailed in Guilford County and held under a $26,000 bond on 14 felony charges, which included identity theft and larceny. He was also facing charges from previous incidents that included failure to appear, felony breaking and entering and resisting, delaying or obstructing a police officer, and possession of stolen goods. He pled guilty to breaking and entering for the apartment incident and was sentenced to 79 days in jail. After the whole ordeal, Destiny and Madison no longer felt safe in the apartment, and they both decided that they needed to move out as well. So that is all of the information we have from that first story.
Ew.
But yeah.
I don't like it.
Finding a man in your closet.
I don't like it.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
I don't want to find any ghosties or any humans that I am not aware of already anywhere in my house.
No.
I am good.
I agree. Okay, so this next story we have here.
I don't know if I want it.
James and Brittany Campbell were newlyweds. They moved to Honolulu, Hawaii with their two kids and their cat, and then they bought a dog once they got to Hawaii. They moved into a two-story house on a cul-de-sac that had a small crawl space attic above the bathroom.
Ugh.
Soon after the move, Brittany started noticing things that just didn't make sense, but it sounds kind of crazy when you say it out loud. The family had piles of boxes in the garage that they hadn't unpacked yet. One day, Brittany noticed that all of the boxes were open and then a lot of her husband's music gear had been moved around. That by itself wouldn't necessarily be a cause for alarm. Like, maybe one of the family members was looking for something and shifted things.
He's a fucking musician.
Yeah.
You're doing a story on two people that just moved into a house and one of them is a musician and you're going to send me fucking home after this?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
That is the plan.
Okay.
Well, Brittany really enjoyed watching makeup tutorials. It's something that she did almost daily. While she was home alone watching a tutorial, she heard the front door slam. But no one was there. That evening, while they were in bed, Brittany thought she could hear the door open and close. James said, no, that's impossible. He had just locked the front door before heading to bed. Like, he knew he had done that. He was starting to get frustrated with how paranoid his wife was acting. She went downstairs and the door was unlocked. So they got into an argument about it. Like, why would James lie about locking the door? Brittany wondered if maybe he wasn't lying. What if one of the kids was actually trying to sneak out? When they were upstairs, they heard the sliding glass door open and shut. James did hear this, so he went to check on things, and he saw that the door was unlocked and the screen door was open. He was still skeptical and believed that Brittany was just overly paranoid because they were living in a new area. Brittany even started to think that she was imagining things. Moving to a new home is real stressful. 2 weeks later, James was playing piano, and he saw a shadow of a person. But when he checked, no one was there. One day, he glanced at the desk calendar, and there was this handwritten note on one of the calendar days. It said, "Your rehabilitation starts today. Do as I did. Choose a house, clean it, set up all devices."
What?
Right, what? And that's kind of what James thought. He looked at it and he was like, I don't get it. Like, he was super confused about this. But he thought maybe it was some type of inspirational thing that Brittany put on the calendar to get him to clean the house. So he was like, okay, I got the hint. And he started cleaning.
Does he not know her handwriting?
See, that's exactly what I was wondering, too.
I know,
like,
Isaac's.
Yeah, like, I would know. I know everybody's handwriting in the house.
For sure. No, I do, too, actually, now that I think about it.
And, I mean, it would be very evident to me. But, hey, they were newlyweds.
Yeah, but they had to have been together for a little bit before that, then, if they were just getting married.
So they had dated in high school and then broken up for a long period of time. And then James had two children and they got back together.
Right. But they were still together for a while before they got married.
Yeah, they had to have. I mean, I'm sure she signed something in front of him. But hey, you know what? Who's to say?
Not that I'm like victim blaming or anything. But no. Like, it is like. Anyways.
But it's probably one of those things that you can just easily overlook. Who knows? About 3 weeks later, James and Brittany were going to see a movie, and Brittany wanted to bring a comfy blanket to wrap up in. She had one that she always kept on the couch, but it was gone. James and the kids said they didn't touch it. When they got back from the movie, the blanket was folded up, sitting on the couch. They figured the kids must have put it back, but it seemed so odd. Like, why lie about a blanket? How stupid.
I'd already be convinced it was ghosts.
Well, this is actually the first time that James admitted something strange was going on. And it kind of made me laugh a little bit when I was watching the show, because I was like, okay, the blanket showing up after you looked for it, that's the first time you're like, wow.
But not the fucking doors.
Weird. Yeah.
Okay.
What it must be like to live as a non-paranoid person.
Honest to God, though, because I left, like, somebody left my house recently and they left a gate open and it, like, kept swinging.
Oh my gosh.
Right, but I thought, like, it was my neighbor's gate, and so yeah. I crept up to the window, and ours was shut, but then all of a sudden it slowly started opening, and I'm serious, like, I almost shit. I'm like, oh my god, there's somebody out there. Well, then I realized it was really windy out,
yeah.
And I still, even with the wind, stood by that window for a solid 15 minutes and watched the door swing to make sure that there wasn't anybody out there swinging it. I could see the wind, okay? I could see it was windy.
Yeah.
But I still stood there while the door was swinging to make sure.
Yes.
So, like...
Because it could have been a trick. Maybe they were luring you
that's
out.
That's what I'm saying! So, I don't even know what it's like to live a life of non-paranoia, but I'm...
It sounds nice. Sure it really does.
It is.
When Brittany was lying in bed, she noticed the webcam light that was on her computer was turned on.
No!
Yeah.
Always cover your webcams! Always cover them!
Or at least close your computer.
Just cover them!
Yeah,
do real. Anything, but please cover them.
The family decided to take a vacation to the mainland to visit family for a week. They ended up taking an earlier flight back, and so they arrived home on Friday, September 13th, 2019. Yes, I said that. Friday the 13th is when they got back home. So,
I love Friday the 13th.
I do too. I love it so much. I have so much fun on that day. When they pulled in the driveway, James's super nice bike was lying out. Brittany asked, like, did you use that before we left? And he said, no. They both got a really weird feeling, so they told the kids to stay in the car. They opened the garage, and it was trashed. All of their boxes were torn apart, and their items were in heaping piles all over. James figured they were probably robbed.
Now I would have been like, that's poltergeist for sure.
Well, yeah.
My brain always goes to that first.
That seems far more practical. So he grabbed a sledgehammer and headed towards the front door, not knowing if he would encounter anything weird. He slid the key in the lock and he tried to open the door, but it only opened a crack. And a man was inside the house peeking at them through the door.
No!
Okay.
No!
So the man is blocking the door from opening.
This is what nightmares are made out of. Oh my God.
And he calmly said, this is not your house. I'd be like, you're right, that's yours.
Not anymore, it ain't.
You ruined it. While Brittany was calling the police, James was able to get the door open and he pulled the man outside. The man was Ezekiel Zayas and he was wearing James's clothes.
There's something so much more cringy about them wearing the person's clothes that they're breaking into their house.
Right? I mean, it just feels obviously extra personal. They're going through all of your things. They're wearing your clothing.
I hate it.
Oof. Brittany started yelling. She was like, I need to get inside the house and check on the cat. And Ezekiel said, no, no, don't worry. I took care of the cat and I fed him. Which,
okay, well, I
guess. It sounds nice in theory.
Yeah, that was nice of him to take care of the cat. But also, I love that that was where her brain went because that's exactly where I would have gone.
I know. I was like, yes, get to the cat. But he did not take care of the cat very well. The cat's fine. The cat was fine.
I was going to say, Megan.
So Brittany ran inside and all of their belongings were in stacks. Like they were being categorized. Like all of the musical instruments were laid out in the living room. The pots and pans were all pulled out of the cupboards and stacked in piles in the kitchen. It was like a really bizarre scene.
Okay, well, why couldn't he do that with the boxes that were in the garage and organize all that shit so they didn't have to unpack?
Well, Brittany said that it felt like it was set up in categories as if there was going to be like a sale.
Oh.
So that's kind of the sense that they got when they looked at it. It was just very, very bizarre. So the cat, Mr. Franklin, was locked up in the dog crate with no water and had not been eating cat food. Ezekiel had been giving him dried apricots.
That's very weird.
Like, that would be the first thing. I know there's a lot of questions, like, if I could talk to this person that I would have, but that would be top of my list. Why would you give dried apricots to a cat? That makes no sense.
Who the fuck has dried apricots just ready and chilling?
I have no idea.
Not something I would normally find in somebody's houses, but I guess to each their own.
Sure. The whole house was trashed, except for the kids' bedroom. And this is very bizarre, like super, super strange thing here. So their room was insanely spotless. Like all of the laundry had been folded and put away, all the toys were picked up, and the beds were made. It was like immaculate in there.
Okay, maybe he had some sort of like secret morals in there somewhere that he was like, I can't fuck with a kid's room.
No.
No.
No. No. In the house, there was a towel set out with knives on it, and an old computer the family didn't use anymore was sitting next to the knives.
Okay.
On the screen, there was a text document, and it was called the Omnivore Trials, a rehabilitation for rat-like people.
Okay.
This included journal entries with observations about the family.
Oh, ew!
Okay, so in the episode that I watched, I was able to capture some of the entries. Dude, it was one of those situations where I would, like, pause it
to, like, read
and
it.
Type really, really fast, and then you have to unpause and then pause really fast so that it moves a little bit on the screen. It was just, but I got it.
I actually get really mad when they make you do that. I'm like, if you're going to show it, show it.
Yeah. And it, like, flashes on there for, like, a second. Yeah. So you can't, like, read anything. And I was like, no, no.
And at least show it for, like, 10 seconds so I have time to freaking pause.
Yes. And, like, legit read it. So the entries are, like, really disjointed and honestly will make no sense. And if it does make sense to you, then please seek help. But I still want to read it so that you get a good idea of, like, what the family was up against here. It says, today's trial consisted of trying to use makeup for cosmetic changes. It kind of failed, but I do believe there will be progress. It's hard to figure out what to do because I still haven't had a real connection with the consultant. I want to get closer, but I guess we both have a fear of something that we are. I'm easily freaked out by human forms, and they believe I'm a narcissistic human, in a way. I just want them to look perfect. I want them to feel beautiful. I believe that even the way they are is possibly one of the most beautiful creatures I've ever seen, but I'm a weird guy, so I guess that's why. But the trials will be completed. We will all have a base home where we can go if needed, and eventually we will have other homes and places we can go to enjoy our lives. The procedure hypothesis. I'm going to need some medical equipment for the omnivores and for myself. There are things that have to be improved for the both of us. I believe I need to treat my jaundice a bit, and for the omnivores, I need to get them to a stage where they are fit to become an Ezekiel. So basically, he's calling the family omnivores. Okay? Of course, training will be a bit more difficult now that everyone is settled at home and watching TV regularly. Then he lists out 11 things here. He says, I need a jaundice treatment light. I need a hospital bed, one that can stretch up to 6 feet. I need tools that a surgeon would normally use. I need heart monitors, blood pressure cuffs, anesthesia machine, oxygen tanks, IV equipment, blood transfusions machine, colonoscopy and endoscopy equipment, life support machines.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously he's thinking he's doing procedures on these people. He writes, I've encountered the most painful episode of my life. It was to show me something, of course, but I'm worried about the birthing process. Now, of course, for the omnivores, the birthing process isn't as bad as mine was. I'm worried for the Ezekiels who have been made. They might go through things not knowing how to handle. But I hope these videos show what is possible for the government and for others who do not like the species. Danger. It lurks around every corner, and like a thief in the night, it can steal everything.
Thief in the night!
I know. For the Ezekiels on the come up, you will learn firsthand on what is to come. They might send informants to distract you and keep your mind going crazy. They might misguide you to trap you. And more importantly, they might even try to take what you have for research. Do not let them hurt you. You will be strong, just like me. And no matter what, you will always find a solution. I realize today why cats are such a pain to omnivores.
You fucking shut your mouth.
They are exactly what they should have been. Hunters, strong, diligent, aware, and probably the best competitor to have. Of course, They might be smaller than the creatures I'm dealing with, and this is exactly why I want to help. It sucks to feel less than. Nobody wants to be the oddball. Even though for me it can be fun, but that's a different type of thing. All of my patients have some type of injection of all-natural detox. Meningitis is an issue, but to me I believe it's a man-made sickness. Everyone is lost if you don't remember which way you went, which could be hard, especially in a new environment, but that'll easily be solved. A navigation system is the easiest way for people to find their way. Which I guess, like, when reading that, I'm a little confused on how a navigation system has anything to do with meningitis, but okay.
I'm not sure why he even brought up cats.
I don't know. So I don't know a lot about any of this. Antibiotics are usually what they use for infections, but I believe that a probiotic is needed for health use. Along with collagen, these meds can possibly clear up an infection and maybe some of your skin. Cranberry extract can be used to flush out any burning sensation in the penis area when peeing.
Okay.
I know, I was like, cool, thanks for the tip. Skin issues are definitely a problem at the moment. I'm not sure if there will have to be a new type or just modification to the current, but I believe it'll come to me when the time is right. Down syndrome. Now, this is probably going to be the hardest for me because all I know is that there's an extra chromosome that is apparently there. It affects speech, it affects eye movement, it affects facial movements, and most importantly, it'll affect the facial features on its host. To remove a chromosome is probably going to take samples of blood, poop, or even cum. I need more time with this. I need to treat Macy more like a pet and get her to realize everything's okay. Yes, she is the first subject, but we've seen what I can do, and of course, they may not exactly be created yet. She will be my best one of all. Then he lists out medications that he plans on using. Sumatriptan, azo, amitriptyline, ibuprofen, dextroamphetamine, and Tylenol.
Oh, I actually knew some of those.
Yeah. So, I mean, those aren't insanely crazy, I guess. But there were bottles or serums that were found around the house, and they were labeled to use on omnivores.
Okay. Well, that's creepy.
And he had looked at websites to buy surgical tables. He looked up how to perform surgeries at home, videos on how to remove an arm, and he looked up gender reassignment surgery.
Can you imagine if they had not discovered him?
The horror story that could have come out of this, obviously this in itself is a horror story, but oh my gosh, he could have done so much damage to this family. Right now, I'm sure they're dealing with something very psychological, but it could have been so much worse.
Right.
He journaled about the family's personal lives and said that Brittany should just give up trying to have a baby and focus on the children she already has. They had not told anybody they were trying to have a baby.
That's rude as hell.
It is. And this was a very personal conversation that they had been having. But this also meant that he had been listening for quite some time.
Right.
So, on Brittany's personal computer, there was a video file where Ezekiel filmed himself and he was naked and doing like a fake makeup tutorial. And remember, Brittany
likes to watch makeup tutorials.
Yeah. So to me, it kind of felt like he was mocking her.
Right.
In a way. But he took a makeup pencil and drew a line like all the way down the middle of his throat. It was just very, very creepy.
I don't like any of it.
No. Ezekiel Zayas was charged with felony burglary, and within days, he was granted supervised release. Within days.
What? He got less time than the other dude?
Well, he burglarized a Buddhist center and then was arrested again.
Well, that'll do it.
Around 9 p.m. On August 31st, 2020, a prison guard checked on an inmate assault. The officer saw Ezekiel punching Vance Grace in the head multiple times. After Vance dropped to the ground, Ezekiel allegedly stomped his head and refused to stop.
Okay, well, that definitely tells you what he could have done.
Yes. Additional officers were able to restrain him, but Vance suffered from hematoma and was pronounced dead at the hospital. Ezekiel was sentenced to 40 years in prison for four convictions, including one for manslaughter for killing his cellmate, 62-year-old Vance Grace, at Oahu Community Correctional Center. He was sentenced to 20 years for manslaughter, 10 years for burglary in the first degree, 5 years for burglary in the second degree, and 5 years for assault in the second degree, for a total of 40 years. So that is the crazy stories about frogging.
Thanks, I hate it.
Check your homes, look everywhere, in all the nooks and crannies.
Isaac, if you're listening.
Check your home. Yeah,
okay.
We're not gonna be done with this topic. No, we're not.
What?
So basically, I was like, hey, why don't we do more of these? Right?
Okay.
So we have another one coming up, and then we will probably sprinkle in some more later.
Oh, good.
Because there's like 10 episodes.
Awesome.
And this was just one.
Okay. So there, we have that to look forward to.
Yay! So hopefully we all like hearing about this topic.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be thinking about it tonight if I hear any type of noises anywhere in the entire freaking house.
I just can't imagine what you would go through, though, like psychologically. I would need so much therapy.
Oh, God,
I'm sure of it.
The paranoia would go from, like, 100 to a gazillion.
Yeah, I don't know how you would even rein it in after something like that.
No.
So I feel so bad for anybody who's ever experienced something like that. No. Don't do it.
Like, don't hide in people's houses, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when they are occupied.
Right. Specifically when they're occupied.
That's the main point I want to get across right now. Do not stay in a house that is occupied when you do not have permission.
Exactly.
And now everyone knows that it's called frogging.
I thank you.
You're welcome.
I had no idea.
Oh, okay. All right, so make sure to... Hannah's shaking her head at me.
I'm just like, I have to go home after
She's
this.
She's like soaking everything in and just going, no. All right, so make sure to follow us on any of your podcast apps. Tell us the stories you want to hear. Like us on Facebook, X, Instagram. Leave us a 5-star review if y'all love us. Tell your friends, tell your cats. Bye.